10 days ago, the Lansing Board of Water and Light's computer network was struck by a malware attack that forced the utility to lock down its systems. The utility says that while dealing with the attack, customer services were not affected. They also say customer and employee data remained secure throughout the attack. So, what has the Lansing Board of Water and Light done to recover, and are operations back to normal? To learn more, we welcome Lansing Board of Water and Light General Manager Dick Pefley back to Current State. Hi, Dick.
Good morning, Mark.
On Monday of this week, you told the State Journal that you were getting closer to normal operations after restoring customer-related functions, and you said you expected employee email functions to return midweek. Can you give us an update?
Sure. As far as our customers are concerned out there, they can conduct business as usual with the BWO. Our email system, I'm hoping, will be up today. It was very close last night. We did some testing. That's the last major internal system that needs to be brought back online.
So if you were to look at this in terms of 100%, 0 to 100%, how close to 100% back to normal are you?
80%.
80. Okay. It was reported that law enforcement is trying to locate the source of the attack. What do you know about that?
Well, yes, local, state, and federal law officials were brought in to assist us. They are conducting an investigation right now. They're no longer on site, but they're doing what they do behind the scenes, and we anxiously await a report from them.
The state police, FBI, and City of Lansing, LPD, are those the three that are involved?
Yes, those are the three that are assisting us through this.
Okay. How did your staff first learn about this? What did you see that told you something was wrong?
One of our employees came in Monday morning. It was probably about 5 in the morning and turned a computer on. And we are assuming they opened the email. We haven't finished that investigation yet. And their computer didn't operate properly. So they notified the IT department. IT looked into it and they saw that it was a malware type of virus. And they immediately started shutting the corporate network down so that it wouldn't spread through the entire network.
At its peak, How many of your systems did it impact? I mean, we know it impacted internal email and some customer service functions. At its worst, how much was affected?
Well, obviously, as you stated, it did not affect any of our employees or customers' data. That's all secure, remains secure. And our production facilities, our transmission distribution, our plants, nothing was compromised there. Our operations of our four utilities continued unhampered by this. But since we have over 750 employees, they all have access to computers and emails, we have to go through each one of those devices to see the extent of it. And we're finding about a 5 to 8% infection rate, but it's a daunting task to check every one of these pieces of equipment before we bring it back online.
And you're sure that credit card numbers, other personal information didn't get exposed?
Absolutely. We actually brought a third party in to verify that we didn't miss anything, just to so that our customers can rest assured their information was always secure and remains secure. That part worked for us.
There have been reports that this involved ransomware. A lot of people are curious about that. So far, you've declined to say whether it was ransomware or not. Can you tell us today if it was ransomware?
Nope, we're still not confirming or denying any of that. Since it's an ongoing criminal investigation, we've been advised not to comment. And I'll be honest with you, these people came into our house. They messed with the Board of Water and Light. And I'm going to do everything in my power to work with law enforcement to make sure we bring these perpetrators to justice.
So that's on the advice of the FBI or the state police that you not disclose?
All the above.
All of the above. In the past, I know we've had conversations here, lots of people in lots of workplaces get advised not to open suspicious emails or attachments. Has that advice been in circulation at the BWL?
Yes, it is, and we continue to educate new employees as well as existing ones to be careful when you open an attachment. But some of the attachments that we find that when we protect ourselves against opening it, that don't get actually opened, they look just like a normal seminar or meeting invite that you would normally open and go to. So they're getting very sophisticated in how they try to attack your systems.
Mm-hmm. Dick Pefley is General Manager of the Lansing Board of Water and Light. We're talking about the utility's efforts to return to normalcy after a malware attack on its computer systems last week. And Mr. Pefley says they're about 80% back, and they hope to restore personal email functions here, hopefully today. Talk about these IT experts that you're getting help from here. Who are they? How did the BWL come into contact with them?
They're a company that helps you restore from a cyber event, and we reached out to them. They come in with a contingency of about 20 people that look at your system. They take and tell you what they've seen, because they're dealing with this on a daily basis. This is the first time we've ever dealt with it, so we use their expertise. And another thing we've asked them to do is, could we have done something different? Can we have been better at this? You know, did we miss something? And we could have brought our system back in 2 or 3 days, but they said that you would be just as vulnerable as you were prior, even though you had state-of-the-art antivirus software. So they're helping us reconfigure our system, so if this happens in the future, we could be back in a matter of hours instead of days.
So I take it there's some concern that a virus might still be lurking somewhere in your computer system?
That was the concern, and that's why we're checking every device we have so that when we turn them back on, we know that they're secure.
Yeah. Are there ways of preventing these attacks in the future?
They told us you can minimize it, but there are 50 major software antivirus companies that we've reached out to. Only 3 of them had ever seen this virus before, and unfortunately, the one we dealt with hadn't seen it. So you have to plug every hole to keep somebody from breaking into your system. They only have to find one hole.
Mm. And now you put your recovery at about 80%. You're saying that the personal email function that has not been restored yet, that constitutes about 20% of the whole problem then?
Yes. Once we bring that back online, we have some small systems that are used once a month for maybe generating a report that we'll look at down the road that won't impact our employees' productivity. Email is the big one right now.
Okay. What is this? You've got plenty on your plate already here. I mean, what's it been like here for the past 10 days dealing with this for you? How much have you learned from this episode?
Very long hours, because the management team stands right beside the IT folks that are putting this back together. We're there to run interference, make sure there's no barrier. So a lot of hours. Something that I've learned a lot about. I have definitely changed my password on my personal computer now to a much longer sequence of numbers.
Right.
I understand they can get into this stuff if they want to.
Can you identify the names of the companies, the IT companies that you're working with?
N1 Resource is one that we brought in.
N1
Resource.
The letter N, the number, N1.
Yeah. Okay. They are the main ones. They are helping us through this. They've been, they were recommended. This is an insurable loss for our company. So they were one of the companies, our insurance company, said that they've used in the past to help companies through this. And they've been very helpful getting us restored to this point.
Staying ahead of criminal elements here has got to be an ongoing concern, not just for you, but for anybody with a computerized system. How confident do you think you will be at staying ahead of this here in the future?
I have a much better feeling, but now that I know that if or when this happens again, that our recovery time is very short. That's the thing that helps us. We're talking a matter of hours. But I also had this company take a look at our power plants and our transmission and distribution system, our computers there, and they were very impressed with the controls we had in place there. So I sleep good at night knowing that those systems are secure.
At what point do you think you might be able to disclose whether it was ransomware or not?
When law officials give us the okay.
But do you have any idea how long that might be?
No, because I think that we're just a small piece in this. From what we can see, this has happened to companies everywhere, and you know that they're looking into this as a bigger issue than just the board of water and light.
Let's move on to some other topics, because, as I say, there's a lot of other issues on your plate. Talk to us here about your plan for the substation at the current site of Scott Park here in Rio Town. It's generated some resistance. Where does that stand?
Sure. We went through the Parks Board process and got approval there. It was a 5-3 vote, so it wasn't unanimous to move to the next step, which is the Planning Commission hearing. And that takes place on Tuesday, May 17th at 6:30 at the Neighborhood Empowerment Center over on 600 West Maple Street. So that's the next step in the process to go in front of those individuals. And if we are successful there, then it would move on at a later date to the City Council for the ultimate approval.
And remind us, Dick, what makes Scott Park the most desirable location as far as the utility is concerned?
Sure. The all the power that leaves the Eckert Power Station, or a third of it, is underground from Eckert to downtown. So we had to locate the substation along those wires. You know, they're underground, the customers don't see them. And we looked at some other sites along there, and they just didn't work out. And you know, we would love to build it anywhere but Scott Park, because it is generating some controversy. But it's where it has to land, and anywhere else would be a considerable increase in the capital budget to do it.
Are the people who are resisting, the people concerned with the history of the Scott mm-hmm. House and the green space here at the Sunken Gardens, mm-hmm. to what extent do you think they have a point?
Well, we understand their concerns. We have had meetings with anybody that wants to talk to us about this and suggestions. You know, we're looking to lower the height of the walls, move them back, put in the fishing platforms in, the river walk. Anything that we can do to make the site more attractive to when it's completed is what we're looking to do right now. So their concerns do not go unnoticed to us.
And your figures suggest that building on the current Eckert site would add $13 million to the cost of replacing Eckert?
Yes, and it is not recommended because it's in a floodplain, and you really don't want to build there. That puts you at risk of a flood. It's a flood if you should have one of your substations built right back where it is now, so we're trying to get out of the floodplain.
Are you confident the Planning Commission will approve the plan?
Well, we need to be vigilant. We need to answer their questions, dot all our I's and cross all our T's, and hopefully we will get that approved and we'll move to the next step. But like I said, we're very sensitive to our customers' concerns about this substation, but we need to provide reliable power for downtown. This is a third of the energy that leaves our plant for the hospitals, the state of Michigan, the downtown business, as well as a lot of residents. But it's just unfortunate that, you know, as the city built up around the Eckert Power Plant, and, you know, a park is there right over our distribution system, and that's where we have to land.
The utility has proposed relocating the Scott Sunken Garden. Where do you think that would go? How would that work?
Sure. We've proposed to relocate it on site, or if there's an alternate site around town, that we would be glad to move it there. We've actually put an endowment in to $40,000 to help maintain the park so that it doesn't just get relocated and not maintained. So that's just one of the many things that we're offering to do.
Now, the board also proposed moving the Scott House, which was moved to the site back in 1978, or to salvage what can be salvaged and then have it raised. Now, the board told Preservation Lansing that they'd pay up to $100,000 to relocate the building if a suitable buyer was found. Has there been any movement on that?
Well, to find a buyer, that goes through the City of Lansing's RFP process, but you're absolutely correct. We will pay up to $100,000 to relocate that house, and that offer still stands, and we're hoping that a site can be found.
Talk to us more broadly about the timeline for replacing the Eckert power station here. What's in your head in terms of getting? I know you've got a hard date by which that has to be offline, right?
Yep, that hard date is January 1, 2020. That date is not driven by any regulatory requirements. That's just when we'd like to retire the plant.
Oh, okay.
And the first step in that is to relocate the substations that is at Eckert so that we can continue our plan to shut Eckert down. But if that substation gets delayed, that can impact the closing of Eckert.
Are you still confident that the process will result in that substation being there at the site of the Scott House?
We hope so. We are fairly confident. We know that it is upsetting some of our customers, but there's also 100,000 people out there that rely on us to make good business decisions. So, you know, I have to kind of keep that in the back of my mind, too.
Mm-hmm. Dick Pethley is the general manager of the Lansing Board of Water and Light. We've been talking about getting back to normal after the malware attack here about 10 days ago on their computer systems, as well as about the substation plan here that in Rio Town. Dick Pethley, thanks as always for being here.
Anytime. Thanks, Mark.